From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. We are privileged to have you with us today, and in a moment we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. In recent weeks, Dr. Cairns has been studying the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. From the text in Mark chapter 7, Dr. Cairns is bringing a message related to the healing of the man born deaf and dumb, a miracle which demonstrates that what the Lord Jesus Christ does is always well done, that the manner in which he works is always well chosen. In concluding the message, Dr. Cairns points out that what Christ does and how he does it shows us our task and the way we should do it. Before the message, however, Dr. Cairns addresses today's hot topic, Sodomites are not saints, and saints are not Sodomites.
Our local newspaper here in Greenville, South Carolina, recently carried a full-page advertisement that bore a heading in large print, We Are Christians. Unfortunately, this was not part of a public witness by Bible believers, but an attempt to smear Bible believers by supporters of the Sodomite agenda. The advert attacked fundamentalist churches that quote the Bible against the so-called gay and lesbian lifestyle. It said that not too long ago people quoted the Bible to support slavery, and the clear implication is that just as that was a misuse of the plain message of Scripture, so to quote the Bible against sodomy is equally wrong. After all, the advert avers, the Bible tells us to respect everybody, no matter what our differences. I must say that advertisements such as this grieve me sore. I don't like lies. To equate slaves with sodomites is vicious. There was no moral taint against a man because he was a slave. He was unjustly deprived of his liberty and was held against his personal choice. Such is not the case with the sodomite. Despite the efforts of the sodomite lobby to show otherwise, the sodomite lifestyle is a moral choice. And it's a choice that is strongly condemned by Scripture. When Bible believers condemn sodomy, they're not merely stating a personal prejudice or a peculiar interpretation of Scripture. Neither are they indulging in homophobia, that favorite charge of the sodomite lobby. No, they're simply restating what the Bible clearly says. Words could hardly be plainer. Paul speaks of women who abuse themselves with women and men who abuse themselves with men, as the Greek text of 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9 means. The AV has effeminate and abusers of themselves with mankind. His language is explicit. He's describing a perverted sexual practice, and thus he emphatically adds that such people shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In 1 Timothy 1 verse 10, he repeats the term that speaks of men abusing themselves with men, and teaches that the law of God was given to condemn them. When you add the strong language of Romans 1, 24 through 28, where Paul shows that homosexual activity, whether sodomite or lesbian, is under the severe judgment of God, you must see that Bible believers must bear an unequivocal testimony against it. The plain truth is that you cannot be a sodomite and a Christian. But, our newspaper advert claims, the Bible commands us to receive and respect everybody, no matter what our differences. I wonder where in the Bible we read that. The Bible says no such thing. We are not to ignore sin and immorality. We are not to accept sexual deviance and perverts as Christians. Nowadays, such bluntness is called hate speech. In fact, it's the very opposite. Telling a homosexual that his activity is sin is the first step in bringing him God's good news, for the gospel tells us how to be forgiven for our sin, and then how to be delivered from its dominating power. Homosexuals can be saved. Homosexuals can be made new creatures in Christ, as 1 Corinthians 6:11 makes very clear. Actually, this is the real reason the sodomite lobby is taking the offensive against Bible Christians and their testimony. They're afraid of the message that God's grace can change homosexuals. They're afraid of losing their constituents. So they float the lie that sodomites may be saints, and saints may be sodomites. You may be one or the other, but you can't be both. Christ saves people, including homosexuals, from their sin. He does not save them to leave them as its slaves.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you have tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the program format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then we give you our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we'd be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's relatively easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Please don't forget the word radio. That's ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
These actions were right for the man involved. They were just the right actions. And whatever he chooses in other cases, these actions, I think, will show some of the things that he always does when he saves souls. He always gets the soul alone with him. I've been in many a meeting where a man has come out and said, "You were preaching at me and nobody else." Every one of us can remember times when God came along. There might have been 50 people. We might have been in a crowd of 5,000 people. But God was dealing with us. When God starts to work with a soul, He isolates that soul with Himself and begins to speak to Him even in the middle of a crowd. Then He touches the points of our need. Makes us feel what our need really is. You see, you'll never get saved until you feel you're a needy sinner. You'll never get cleansed until you feel you're filthy. You'll never get reconciled to God until you feel your alienation from God. You'll never be saved from hell until you recognize you're on the road to hell. He made us feel our need, and then He assures us of His power and willingness to make us whole. He directs our attention to heaven. You see, this is always the major ingredient in His dealings. With us to focus our attention away from earth toward eternity. Away from the physical to the spiritual. Away from the temporal to the everlasting. We get so taken up, if God would only heal my body, if God would only meet my financial needs, if God would only do this, if God would only do that, oh, that would be such a great blessing. Sometimes the Lord doesn't do those things because we are so far from reality and from truth in our hearts that the blessing would come between us and the God who gave it. You need something more than healing of body. You need grace of soul. You need the communion of earth with heaven. And having made us face the need in its extent, He shows us the only source of our help, His own great love for our souls. I like what Martin Luther said in this passage. He said, "That sigh was not drawn from Christ on account of the single tongue and ear of this poor man, but it is a common sigh over all tongues and ears, yea, over all hearts, bodies, and souls, and over all men from Adam to his last descendant." That sigh of Christ is a sigh over you and over me. He loves us still. I want to say this to you this morning. However much His people feel in loving you, never doubt the love of the one who sighed over that Gentile who could neither hear nor speak. You come here this morning with heavy heart, darkened soul, uncertain future. Hear the sigh of the Son of God. There is no love like the love of Jesus, and it has never changed. He loves sinners not after they have been able to give up their sin. He loves them even in the depths of their iniquity. And He loves the sea of sinners. That's why He speaks the word of salvation, be opened, and immediately releases us from our depravity so that we can receive the truth of God, and looses our tongues that we may speak His praise. I think of that man in Decapolis. You know, the first voice he heard was the voice of the Savior. First words that penetrated with a voice, with the words that came from the Son of God. He began to listen. Then he began to lisp the praises of the Savior. What do you think that tongue that's loosed will speak about? What would that man have spoken about? Do you think that man just healed? Do you think he'd have been talking about yesterday's football game? Do you think he'd be talking about the stock market? Do you think he'd be talking about the weather? Do you think he'd be discussing high-flown philosophy or theology? No, I want to tell you, that man whose tongue was just loosed, whose ears had just been opened, man, he would have been singing and sounding the praises of Him who has done all things well. I think that was the man who was leading the choir when they were glorifying the God of Israel. Let me tell you, that's what Jesus does, and that's how He does it. I haven't time to follow through in this, but I'm going to leave it with you that you may never forget it if you are already a Christian. What Jesus does and how He does it, show us our task and the way we ought to set about it. Our task is to reach the world. Not just our comfortable little Galilee, but out there in that pagan world. That unsaved world. I understand personal separation for a Christian is biblical and right and important and indeed essential. But I get worried when I hear Christians who want to have jobs, homes, environment, everything that's isolating them from the unsaved world. I get worried about that. Because you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. And if God's people are not willing to live and to work and to breathe and talk and sing and do right among the ungodly, how are the ungodly ever to hear? Evangelism can never be done at a distance. And the idea that we can simply invade communities and drop a few gospel tracts and think that we're going to see a great harvest, it is not biblical evangelism. Oh, that we may know what it is to penetrate the world of the ungodly, to reach the pagans, to be sensitive to the needs of souls, and to be ready to meet those needs. To realize that among the crowds, there are people we must seek to get alone with, when Stephen Hamilton was down dropping his daughters off to school. Well, we were out to dinner, and I don't know, as preachers do when they get together, they talk about other preachers, Spurgeon and all, and books they've read and all the rest of it. And they said about an illustration that Mr. Spurgeon gave. So you get a whole lot of bottles, empty bottles. If you want to fill them with water, what do? You don't just take a pipe and spread water over the whole lot of them. You may get a little water, but if you want to fill those bottles, you take one at a time and you fill it and set it aside. You take another and you fill it and you set it aside. Hit and miss evangelism is like turning a hose pipe on a field of empty bottles. You know, there comes the hard work, the necessary work of drawing one aside. That means investing your time. It means investing your love to get them to Christ. And then we should emulate our Master's methods. Here's a sermon in itself. The look of Christ. He saw this man, took him aside. The touch of Christ. The touch of Christ. Let me ask you, have you ever really touched a life? Have you ever really touched a life? So easy to get so withdrawn in our own little shell, so selfishly withdrawn into our own lovely little world. I have my home, my family, and I believe in the primacy of home and family. But it's so easy to get in there, and the world can go to hell, and what do I care? God forgive us. God forgive us. He touched that man. His upward look to heaven tells us that in our dealings with men, we must be in touch with God, and we must have the power of heaven for the problems of earth. His sigh tells us that we will never evangelize or win souls by mechanical methods. There is the flowing of the love of the heart. And I want to tell you, any man can see the difference between somebody who's simply handing him a tract, and by the way, do that, do it all you can, not against it, but anybody can see the difference between that and somebody who has a heart for his soul. And then there's his touch, his look, his sigh, but then his word. Give them the word. Give them the word. Don't come up with some alternative to the word, some substitute for the word. Don't come up with some dumb little scheme that God has a plan for your life. God has something good to say or do to you. Man, deal with the problem, deal with the sin, and authoritatively give them the word of the gospel, which says to the deaf ears and the tongue that's impeded, be opened, be loosed. Give them the gospel. Use the words of Isaiah 42, hear ye deaf. Hear ye deaf, and thank God they will hear the word of the book. You know, this is still true. He has done all things well, and we can prove it. He meets the needs of souls. He's saving the lost. He's bringing into the family of God people who have lived their lives with rejection and fear. He's bringing families together that have been splintered by sin. And he's preparing them to live out days of heaven upon the earth. Why? Because what he does well. What's your need this morning? You need to be saved. He'll save you well. backslidden, but you need to be restored. He'll restore you well. What do you need? What's your home need? Bring it to Jesus. For He does all things well.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.